how Doris didn't have that.
No, well, Doris was the one who had music lessons on the understanding that she should teach Vi to play the piano. But Doris had no patience to teach Vi. And Vi was really just as musical as Doris. Mm. But Doris was terrifically musical. I mean, at Christmases, we used to have these sing-songs around the piano, and anything anybody hummed, but Doris could sit down and play it. We used to have these marvellous, I can remember these marvellous Christmases round at 76 Townsend Terrace, which is pulled down now. But that's where all the relatives used to gather, all these aunts. It was my grandma's house. It's only a three-bedroom house, but somehow or other it had housed all these children and her mother and Aunt Fanny's children for a stage. But we used to play have all these sing-songs with Doris playing the piano and then play charades. And my grandma was still making mountains of food and...
What days would this be on? On a Sunday?
Christmas at Christmas. There was the whole big family gathering there, which was a marvellous. And we were Nev and I were the only children. I mean, the other grandchildren hadn't been born, and Nev and I were the only children. Mm. But it was so wonderful that it was all these adults playing charades and playing murders and playing all these games. And every Christmas, Alan would dress, suddenly appear in Moy's clothes. And he looked like the most tarty, rather transvestite woman, you know, with his live hair, and he'd put something, you know, stuff a jersey, and Moy would be saying, he's putting all my clothes out of shape. And he had such very muscular, hairy legs that he'd pull her silk stockings onto, and he'd do this terrible mimicking. He was always a clown, Alan was. I know that one time when they had Uncle Bertie on a picnic on Sheen Common, and they had lifted Uncle Bertie onto the grass, and this wasn't long
this
after.
This was the paralyzed.
Yes. And this wasn't long after World War I. And Alan, Uncle Alan, got into the wheelchair. It was one of these manual ones. And he was, for the hell of it, trying to get it up a hill. And some middle-aged woman came along and said, "Oh, you poor man!" And was puffing, pushing him up the hill. And he didn't dare to sort of
say,
perfectly. I mean, he didn't want to make a fool of her, and yet at the same time, he didn't want to be in it under false pretenses. But
leapt out and said, "A miracle has occurred."
But Alan was the oldest of the younger ones, and apparently he always intimidated them, made them save their penny a week pocket money to buy something for their parents, and he was terribly sort of bossy with the younger ones. But
maybe that's how Doris got away with not.
She just didn't do it, you know, and she went out to work. Vi was there, and Vi didn't want to go to work, but she also didn't want to be such a drudge. But Doris worked at Boots.
Yes, I remember him.
And the only time Vi ever worked was the Christmas rush for 3 weeks at Boots. And once she was just to put things in shelves and so on, but once everybody had gone off to lunch, and Vi was left on her own. And she was just so terrified. She just was standing quaking. And this man said, "Well, isn't anybody going to serve me with Vi there?" But Vi can remember that 3 weeks, which was the only time she, as it were, went out to work in all her 84 years.
And I mean, she did so much work, but not...
No, I mean, she worked as a family drudge, and then...
Family drudge.
It was a pretty good drudgery in this, with these nine children, and all the tragedy that was going on in the family at the time, the illnesses, and
And it was Moy that was doing
it? Yeah, Moy was the only victim of Spanish flu. And I thought it was extraordinary. But
was that the flu after the first flu?
Yes, the one that took
it
more.
Did they call it Spanish flu then? Mm.
They called
it the pandemic. Oh dear.
Well,
tell me about
Vi
raising
Ken,
because Ken told me about
it. Yes, we heard from Ken about how Vi had more or less had raised him.
Oh, had you better turn that off while Tim Elizabeth gets back?
Perhaps I should, but I don't know, she won't be a minute.
No. Well, I suppose Ken, when you saw Ken and Kathleen, he was able to fill you in on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, well, you see, Ken was closer to my age, 9 years older than me, and 13 years younger than Vi.
Right.
But the extraordinary thing is that Vi was 13 when Ken was born, and she never noticed her mother was pregnant. I mean, she still didn't know where babies came from until she married my father. She
absolutely
used to say
incredible
things like, isn't it a shame every time we have a new baby, Mum's ill and has to stay in bed? You know, sort of, what a coincidence. You know, never associated the two things. And
some people are amazing like that. I mean, like Elizabeth noticed
my
aunt was pregnant.
To my cousins when I was about, well, it must have been a shame, like this. Yeah, we were about seven, and I said, your mother is as big as a rowing boat. She's going to have a baby, and I don't really know how I knew that. No, she's not. And I mean, they lived with her. They saw her every day. You think they would have noticed? I'm sure enough, she had a baby very soon after that.
Well, Vi just didn't seem to, with her having babies at home as well, and still didn't know. But, of course, Doris was out at work, and so Vi was left an awful lot to look after Ken. And she can remember falling asleep with Ken in her lap, sitting in front of an open fire with no fire guard. And she kept falling off to sleep, and then Ken would be rolling down off her lap, and she'd sort of half wake up and feed him up again. But she thinks now, you know, well, not now, but I mean, she thought afterwards, what? What a terrible risk it was. All sorts of risks. I mean, they had no electric light upstairs. They used to have to go up, or these kids all going upstairs with candles.
Mm. It's no wonder that families like that didn't always raise all nine.
Yeah, I know. It's not at all surprising. Oh, yes, and one of the lovely stories about my grandpa is how he used to heat up flat irons and run upstairs and iron the sheets of the bed to warm the bed up before they got into bed all those years ago.
It's sort of just a little flat iron.
Yes, well, they didn't have electric, the old
ironing
flat
iron. Yeah.
Yes.
I just thought that sometimes they had these bed warmers that are large and like lollies.
Oh, yes. Well, these were just these ordinary irons dashing away with a smoothing iron.
I love that seeing all the different fashions, and the strange thing is, in a way, that the hats for the women, and this is a generation apart, they've both got the broad brims and decked out in flowers and ribbons. These ones are more set down on your head, I guess, the more recent ones.
Yeah.
These ones are,
you see, there's Aunt Ethel there, and there's Aunt Ethel there, you see.
You see?
By that time she's married. See, there she is as a young girl, and there she is already married to Uncle Fred. But it's a pity I've lost the key to this one, which Dorothy kindly made me. But I'm not very good at keeping organised at all. But
which is Dorothy? Who's Dorothy?
Well, Dorothy wasn't born then. Dorothy and Lorna were the... they had George and Reg, the older ones, and then Dorothy and Lorna.
Right.
And you see, Lorna was a first cousin of Vi. And it always made me feel inferior that Lorna was younger than me. She's younger than Ned, 3 years younger. And she would call my mother Vi by her first name. And I'd have to call her mother Aunt Kit.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Right.
So it was sort of lifting her up into five generations in a way, because she was the first cousin. Dorothy and Lorna both went to girls' country school where I went. Dorothy was older, in a higher class, and Lorna in a younger class. But we always used to get together at different family gatherings. It was a different branch of the family. But Dorothy and Lorna have always done a terrific lot of travelling. I don't know how many times Lorna went around the world as a person. And they've been to Africa. But they've done so much travel. And the boys, George and Reg, never left England. And George, I think he played, my Uncle Sid, first of all, was the organist at the parish church. And then George played the organ there for 54 years. He retired from playing the organ. And they never left England. Oh. It's rather like you and Joan have done all the more travel than your brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, Murray, when he came here, it was his first time out of New Zealand, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Rath has been once to Brisbane.
Yes, I
know.
Dorothy had that terrible, terrible experience in Africa, because when Leslie, her husband, who is very wealthy in Jersey, he had this great desire to do a sort of missionary job at an African school in, I don't know which African country it was, and he took this assignment for 3 years. And Dorothy wanted to move some marks off the ceiling, and on a Saturday she climbed up a ladder to move these marks off the ceiling, and the ladder collapsed, and her hands were caught. And it broke both wrists terribly badly. And she was put in an African hospital.
Let them heal up in a deformed
way. Yeah, in a deformed way. Well, all the Africans were drunk on Saturday night, and she was put in this ward, and she was by the window, but there were, I think, about 60 beds. And all the African families used to hand in through the window parcels over her head. And also she got a terrible screaming cold, and nobody could so she couldn't move her hands. And of course when she got back to London, had her wrist examined by Harley Street specialists, they found that there was nothing, you know, it was too late to re-break them and reset them. It was a pretty dreadful experience. Because she had been very good at knitting and knitted beautiful Fair Isle things. And I think it sort of put a stop to a lot of those sort of
crafting things.
Yeah.
Well, shall we stop now for a little while and go for a
few? Yeah, yes. I think so. It would be a good idea to have a walk now. The weather looks absolutely stunning, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
And it's Easter Sunday.
Yes.
It does work. I really like having the stories emerging from the photos.
Yes.
I mean,
it's nice, isn't it? The name of his Uncle Reg writes very amusingly. The Victorian Sunday is the more polished piece of work. That he put more care into. No, I don't think so. No, they were just found amongst Bob Mountain things. I always used to think that was such a very romantic name, Molly Mountain. Molly and Bob Mountain.
Molly Mountain, especially somehow Molly coming Bob around. She'll be coming around the mountain.
Coming around the mountain.
I think it was a good
pin.
Yes.
He was the organist, wasn't he?
Stephen was joined up to this literary club. He had to put his own name and then any name.
I forget who it was that said pen name, and somebody wrote in, I just call it ballpoint.